Welcome in to the Burgundy and Gold Today. I am your host today, Ben Standing. I'm with you from 4 to 7. For those of you who are unfamiliar with me, I cover the Washington Commanders for my Substack, Last Man Standing. And I was, of course, out at Commanders training camp today. Padded practice, second time they had pads on. Our guy Anthony here behind the glass was out there as well, you know, doing his due diligence. And, you know, we knew this was going to happen, that we were going to join forces today. So we spent some time discussing what are our topics today? You know, obviously we're going to talk about training camp. How's everybody looking? You know, maybe what Dan Quinn had to say the other day about, you know, his willingness to change defenses. Obviously going to talk about Jaden Daniels, the receiver room, because that's obviously been a topic. And also these receivers have, you know, I think they've looked pretty good in camp, including today. And none of that is going to matter right now because the Washington Commanders have just within the last couple hours agreed to terms, Stephon Diggs. Absolutely a guy that everybody here has been talking about. Stephon Diggs, a four-time Pro Bowler, a guy that's had a ton of 1,000-yard seasons. He is a local to boot, went to Good Counsel High School, University of Maryland. And now he's going to be on the Commanders. And it is a very, very fascinating move because this is the one position on offense, at least, where there was at least question marks as to what the Commanders had, what the Commanders were going to do. I think they gave themselves options in ways they didn't a year ago at this position. Beyond Terry McLaurin, you had a lot of guys for, you know, pick your favorite ones, Treylon Burks, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, Deami Brown, Van Jefferson. I might be forgetting something here. And all of these guys were having pretty good camps to the point where when this conversation about, well, what do you think they should get Stephon Diggs? I'm like, well, I think I've been pretty consistent with this. Like, hey, look, if they think they can get him and it makes sense, obviously on paper, Antonio Williams, of course, I forgot. On paper, he makes a ton of sense. Again, this is a group that, there are guys who can fill specific roles. I've talked about how, unlike last year, the players that they have not only are quality receivers, but they each can do a certain job out there. So if you need to play wide receiver two by committee, they would have some options. Now, with Stephon Diggs, that presumably is no more. And it's going to make life easier, you would think, for Jaden Daniels, for David Blau. I mean, obviously with David Blau, first year coordinator, I think camp has been interesting so far. He hasn't shown everything, needless to say. The offense hasn't, but you know, it's been watching him dial up some plays and seeing some guys get open based on those play calls has been notable. And now you're going to have a guy in Diggs who, you know, again, he's been one of the premier receivers in this league for the last few years. Now he's going to be 33 in November. Father time is undefeated, but that doesn't mean it's happening this year. Sometime it's going to happen, but not, you know, we'll see about now. He's not been in a training camp, so I don't know when we'll actually see him on the practice field. He's going to have to presumably ramp up the conditioning, not to mention, I don't know off the top of my head if he's been in an offense similar to what David Blau is going to run. Either way, he's going to have to learn the terminology and so on. I don't imagine that's going to be much of an issue for him because he's been there, done that kind of a guy. But, you know, so we'll see when they get out there. Of course, they're off tomorrow. Almost like they planned it this way to drop some big news when they're not going to be out there, or we're not going to be out there tomorrow at least. But back at it on Friday, so that'll be our first chance, presumably, to chat with Dan Quinn about Stephon Diggs and why they made this move. Again, from Washington's perspective, on offense at least, the second receiver was the one position where let me rephrase that. I understand there's questions at center. We'll see who wins the left guard spot, things like that. But in terms of, you know, the headlines, who they were going to get at the number two receiver mattered a lot. And to me, it's interesting because Diggs had a few off the field matters that he had to deal with, some legal matters. And I think that was one of the reasons why he's still available, that teams, you know, needed to see kind of how some of these issues were going to resolve itself. I mean, by and large, they mostly have resolved themselves. And around the time where that did happen is when the Brandon Ayuk situation, I think, started to go off the rails a bit. I mean, I was pretty much out on Ayuk all the time, even before he started becoming a social media influencer off his Instagram account. Diggs was always the better and safer choice. Again, highly productive, had played last year, whereas Ayuk has been out since 2024. And again, while Diggs has some matters off the field that, you know, hopefully are not going to be part of his time here in Washington. Hopefully we're not seeing too much TMZ stories. He may or may not have a very famous girlfriend still. I'm not sure. Maybe Anthony knows what's the status of that relationship. Are they still dating, Diggs and Cardi B?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Right, well, you're not doing anything here for the next 3 hours. Go search the internet, see what you can find out. Check with your people.
I mean, technically right now they're not together, but you never know. Like, the lights are on, you know, on them and things of that nature. So I don't know.
Hey, national TV games. I mean, you know, why not have why not show up for to support your guy? So huge day, to say the least, for these Commanders. We're going to talk about this plenty more in the show. I'll give you guys my thoughts on training camp. We'll discuss what this move means for the wide receiver room, what it means for Jaden Daniels and the offense. And at 5 o'clock, we hope, the plan is that we're going to have on a notable receiver in his own right, Santana Moss, who of course is now an analyst for the Commanders. At 5:30, Adam Kaplan, NFL insider with SiriusXM, who was originally booked to discuss the possibility of Stephon Diggs. Now we'll discuss that he is here and why he was still a free agent, his time with New England, et cetera. Then at 6 o'clock, we're going to switch from the gridiron to the hardcore. Mike Scotto from Hoops Hype will join me, because tomorrow is when Anthony Davis becomes eligible for a massive contract extension. I don't think he's getting the massive contract extension, but what about some kind of extension? We'll talk about that with Mike and other NBA stories. So plenty to get to here. And of course, on a day like this, I'm going to have to have some input from the people. 301-230-0980. The topic is pretty simple. You happy they got Stephon Diggs? 301-230-0980. Anthony will grab your calls. He'll tell me when you're on hold, and we will chat it up. A lot to get to here. We're throwing out the plan we had. We're going up with a new one, Stephon Diggs. Ben standing with you here until 7 o'clock on the Team 980. Stephon Diggs. We don't have to keep talking about the hypothetical. He is joining the Washington Commanders after weeks and months of speculation and thinking and curiosity and hand-wringing and angst about what the Commanders would do at receiver beyond Terry McLaurin. It appears there's an answer now with Stephon Diggs coming in. Now, I didn't mention the terms earlier. It's a one-year deal. Adam Schefter reported it being up to $12 million. Just to be clear, the money, I mean, obviously the money matters to the people involved, but from the perspective of, oh, did they get a good deal? I don't think this really makes a difference. The Commanders have a ton of cap space even before making this. They're still going to have a bunch of cap space. And, you know, as long as it was just a one-year deal, the money didn't really matter. They're not going to have to release anybody based on money or do any kind of salary cap shenanigans to get this done. So 1 year, we'll see about the exact terms. Even if it's up to $12 million, that could be a lot of bonuses. So we don't know what the base number is. We may not know that for a couple of days. Or we may know it in a couple of hours. Who knows? But Stephon Diggs is here. So I'm taking your calls, 301-230-0980. We'll talk about this throughout the hour. We'll talk about the Commanders training camp as well. Well, they were out there today, pads for a second day, but this takes precedent over practice number 6. So again, 301-230-0980. All right, let's get to, we got some calls here. Mill is on the line. Mill, what are we thinking here? You happy with Stephon Diggs?
Definitely happy with it. I just think AP was, I guess, thinking, like I was just telling Anthony, and thank you for taking my call. Hi. I was just thinking, like, AP was just probably thinking in the back of my mind. Like me, I was truly thinking, like, if Terry really went down, who would be that second option? And I just think, not saying that, you know, because I've been looking at the highlights of, you know, what that's been going on in camp, and Luke has been shining. I guess, you know, Treylon Burks has been trying to come alive, and obviously Jaden Lang and Chig. But I'm just saying, overall, if Terry, which is technically our number one, if he would go down, who would necessarily step up? And I'm not saying we didn't really have a definitive answer, but having Diggs in there definitely helps us out in certain changes. I mean, remember, week one is the Eagles. And I'd rather be ready with guys, the more weapons we need for Jaden. That way he won't really be having those struggles that way we did last year. But that's just my take on that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call and the thoughts. You know, the point about it isn't just that they now have a proven receiver with 1,000 yards receiving yards all over his resume and Diggs. They now presumably have somebody that, in the worst case scenario, Terry McLaurin has to miss any kind of time like he did last year, that they have somebody who could handle sort of that wide receiver one responsibility. And people have asked for weeks now, why aren't the Commanders bringing back Deebo Samuel? What's wrong with Deebo Samuel? He was productive at times last year. I said I thought Deebo was MVP of training camp last year, which means nothing. But I just thought he had a really good camp. He looked really good the first 5 weeks. And then, like, the rest of the offense kind of fell off until toward the very end of the year. Now, part of that was a little bit, he had a bit of a heel issue. But the reality is that Deebo Samuel, while a talented player, is not a real wide receiver. He is not a guy that you have out there and go run the route tree with. He is a guy that you find special ways to get him the ball, and we saw it out into the backfield a lot, find ways for him to get yak, but it's not something that you have to do it separate, somewhat outside of the basic plan. Stephon Diggs is a traditional receiver. He has played outside most of his career. He played split it with outside and slot last year in New England. I think slot to me makes a lot of sense, but we'll see how they play it out there. Obviously, the question is sort of that other outside receiver, but there's a lot of ways you can manipulate it and have Diggs be in the slot if that's what they want to do. But that's kind of, to me, why Samuel was never really in the cards to come back, and a guy like Diggs makes more sense because of the fact that, again, not only is it about who's playing with McLaurin, but what happens if something goes sideways with him, with his availability. Now you have a player in Diggs, not just from a talent, athletic standpoint, from a mental standpoint. I mean, Stephon Diggs is a hard-nosed competitor. You know, if he's out there, the team's going to have another guy who is going to be competitive to the nth degree, whether Terry McLaurin's out there or not. Jonesy is on the line. I think we have another person here kind of high on the Stephon Diggs signing. Jonesy, talk to me.
Last man standing. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, what's
check
going on?
Check this out, man. I felt like, yeah, at one point they should have brought Deebo back, but I wasn't tripped out when, you know, for some of the reasons I found out, the reason why they wasn't bringing him back. My simple eye test, just looking at Deebo last year, he was good, he was a weapon, and I understand why he was a gadget to a descent. But to me, the eye test, he couldn't get a separation out there on the field quite a few times in some big games last year. So, Stephon, I mean, whatever he is, I feel like, you know, he's a faster version of what Deebo is. He's not what you would call a gadget guy, but he's still somewhat of a mid-range to a deep threat guy if you play him short. I think, you know, yeah, this is a good move.
Sure.
Ben had the move done, in my personal opinion, but we got it done now because we got to take Philly serious. I don't care how you look at it. We have to take Philly very serious because the minute you take them serious, bam, that's when they were, you know, great when you just thought they was just good enough. So with this move here, we're going to do big things, man. Love the move. Love the move, Ben. Nice talking to you, buddy.
Likewise, Jonesy. Thanks so much. It is hard to not be enthused by this deal. I mean, again, it's because Terry McLaurin exists, Stephon Diggs does not have to come in and light the world on fire. Now, I don't even know when we'll see him on the field. He was not in a training camp all this time. So unlike all the guys who've been here, not just for this past week, but they were, you know, mini camp, OTAs. I presume Stephon Diggs has been training and like not doing like me and like, you know, binge watching shows on the couch. So I assume he's in good shape. Now the question is just how long does it take to get into playing shape? And then also, how does he, you know, how quickly does he learn David Blau's system? Not the system itself. We, you know, he's been around the league. You know, he's going to be 33 in November. He's been there, done that. But there's still the terminology. There's still nuances to what Blau wants to do. Then, of course, you got to build up the chemistry with Jaden Daniels, who I am sure is quite happy with this scenario. So, yeah, Stephon Diggs, like I said, I'm not even sure what the argument against would be. First of all, the argument better not be you wanted Brandon Ayuk instead. Stop it. Beyond that, you know, the only argument to me against this would have been to say that the players that they have in-house, particularly the three guys they drafted over the last 3 years, Antonio Williams, Jalen Lane, Luke McCaffrey, that you want to see how they produce, how they play these things out. And that can still happen, of course. But now, if Diggs and McLaurin are your top two receivers, they're basically going to play, you know, an overwhelming amount of the snaps. I guess let me rephrase that. Certainly Terry will. We'll just have to see where things are at with Diggs. I mean, he will play the majority of the snaps, I would have to believe. Otherwise, you know, maybe Father Time got a hold of him more than anybody would think. But other than that, you'd think McLaurin and Diggs play a ton, and then what does that mean for everybody else, especially when they're going to go with two and three tight end sets? You may only have two receivers on the field a chunk of the time. I don't want to say the majority of the time because, you know, they will open it up a bit more when you're in obvious passing downs, and that could be second and 10, or it could be, you know, third and eight or what have you. And at that point, we'll have to see who's out there. But presumably McLaurin and Diggs are going to be out there far more than they are not. 301-230-0980. Give me your thoughts. Stephon Diggs, you're happy? How happy? You're not excited about this? You want to know what else is going on in camp? I'm here for it all. Ben Standing here with you until 7 on the Team 980.
Stephon Diggs here. I'm here at the first practice, the first fall practice. They out here getting it in, man. Shout out to my Terps and go Commanders. Let's go.
I saw that Stephon Diggs was at University of Maryland football practice today. Is that where that was from?
Yes, sir.
I mean, sure. Why not? I mean, again, he's a local guy. It's funny, you know, sometimes the local thing works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the guy wants to come here. Sometimes they don't. Right, Kevin Durant? But by all accounts, Diggs wanted to be here. He said as much over the last few weeks. Now, I don't know exactly. I mean, I've heard some stories about potential other teams that were in the mix for him. And ultimately, you know, these things still don't come down to money. I doubt he turned down a significantly more lucrative deal to stay home. But, you know, either way, that has now happened. We'll get the terms eventually. It's 1 year up to $12 million from what I was told. And again, no worries here. The Commanders have the third most cap space in the league before this moves over $40 million. So that part's not a big deal. 1 year, that's really all you need to know about the entirety of the deal. If it somehow doesn't work out, they're out after this year. And it's not going to be a long-term commitment that's going to block them from doing anything else down the line. But it does give them somebody right now to help out Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. I think, you know, in checking with some people around the league, one thing that multiple people have said to me is he's probably going to be better off in the slot at this point of his career. Again, last year with New England, who, reminder, went to the Super Bowl last year with a different quarterback from the 2024 class in Drake May. Diggs is going to be a pretty good fit, I would say, here. Like I said, the money's not an issue. He played slot half the time with the Patriots. Now, how much they use two receiver sets or three receiver sets, that is still up for debate. The assumption, belief, is that they're going to use two and three tight ends more often than not. It's like, it's hard to say that's going to be the base offense, as it were, because, I mean, maybe it will be on, say, first down, but passing down situations, are they going to stay with that, or are they going to go to 11 personnel with three receivers out there? If it's three receivers and Diggs could be the inside guy, if it's just the two, then he's either outside, or if they want to move Chig Okonkwo around, then they will be able to put him outside, maybe Diggs in the slot. Okonkwo has moved around a ton in practices so far, so he's going to be all over the place anyway, and it shouldn't be therefore that complicated to get Diggs in the slot if that's what they prefer. Anthony, let me just throw this out to you. You know, for years, Terry McLaurin, we knew, didn't have a stable quarterback. Jaden was the first one he's had that he's been the starter for multiple years. He also has had lousy number two receivers here. I mean, Deebo Samuel was arguably the best one that he's had. And again, Deebo's a fine player, but just not a traditional receiver. Diggs, assuming he plays as we think, is going to be easily the best receiver that's been opposite Terry McLaurin. Now, on top of that, they add Chig Okonkwo. You know, he's not Zach Ertz when it comes to finding space in the red zone, but he's a much better athlete, yards after the catch, all that good stuff. You've got Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt at running back, along with Rashad White, but just to stick with Bill, you know, the ability to one cut, get through a lane, you know, that gives them that explosive element. So this is a team that last year did not have a lot of explosive plays, or not a lot of guys that could get them. And now, at a minimum, you've got Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, Chig Okonkwo, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, and, you know, again, I'm not dismissing Rashad White or whichever of the other receivers play. But as a core, that is, I'm not going to say it's an amazing group, but at the same time, it is a far more potential productive group than they've had, certainly since Daniels has been here, and really for, I'd have to think here, but for some time.
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone raved about, you know, Bill's ability to be a home run hitter last year, because we haven't had that in some times in terms of like speed out of the backfield. So you have him, then you also, we know what Terry is and how productive he is. And then, you know, in us signing Chig, and a lot of his strong suits being the fact that he's fast, you know, he's physical, his yards after the catch. When you just look up like what we have so far after the addition of Stephon Diggs, you're looking at an offense that can really attack all three levels of the field. And that's ultimately like what you will want to have in an offense that seems and, you know, can be prolific. So we'll see, you know, how they all put it together. I think what David Blau has sort of kind of put together so far through training camp anyway, and what we've seen the last couple of days, the offense looks really good. They're attacking literally all three levels again. And again, we just got to see how, you know, it all comes together. But I'm excited for what can be.
Yeah. I mean, again, last year I was really sounding the alarms about the receiver room. At that point, Terry McLaurin was holding out of camp. We didn't know for sure he'd get hurt. we all speculated that could happen with the lengthy holdout, but okay. And then Noah Brown was already hurt before training camp even started. And then you looked at what was behind those guys, and it was a pretty motley crew, a combination of some younger guys who were unproven, like Lane and McCaffrey. And then you had, again, Deebo, but then like Chris Moore was a guy. I feel bad. I've mentioned his name in not the most positive lights a lot. Not his fault that he was put in some bad situations, but to me, he epitomized what was wrong with this group. He just didn't have any obvious way to contribute other than just if he happened to be open and they got him the ball. Now you've got a lot more options, but having Diggs and McLaurin at the top, everything can revolve around them. As I said earlier, I was checking with some people around the league to get their view of what Stephon Diggs is at this point. One high-ranking front office official with a team that faced Diggs last year said that, hey, he can still be a four, super competitive, probably, though, best in the slot, just doesn't maybe have enough speed at this time to have as much success on the outside as he has in the past. Not going to be a big run after the catch guy. They have some other pieces for that. Now, this is me talking. They have some other guys for that, obviously. Chig Okonkwo, that's kind of why you brought him in. I mean, McLaurin can do that. Somebody else said, hey, he's a pretty solid number two receiver at this point, which works here. He's very consistent as well, has excellent hands. In fact, I saw this, let me see if I can find this here. I saw this stat online from Warren Sharp with Sharp Football. He looked at a bunch of the different analytics stats involving Diggs last year, among them EPA per target, number one in the league. Yards per target, 9.9, number six in the league. He was also number one in catch rate, meaning he doesn't drop the ball much. Number one in accurate target catch rate, and number one lowest wide receiver error rate. I don't know what the error rate counts as, but you can imagine some of the basics thing. He only had two drops all year. And again, like Van Jefferson, one reason I thought Van Jefferson had a shot to make this team, still does, because he had very sure hands. He has not dropped a pass in two seasons, but he's not the same receiver level as Stephon Diggs. He wasn't going to go out there and be your obvious number two. And now you have a guy who's not only highly productive, but also brings you that level of consistency. And, you know, this is also something that was an issue last year. Jaden Daniels was, in the games that he played, was victimized by drops. He had one of the higher percentages of quarterbacks in the league when it came to being negatively impacted by drops. So this is exciting. Now, next week is the first joint practice against the Dolphins, right? Next week. That to me would be a good moment if it's conceivable for him to get out there. Ironically, I mean, I don't know that it matters for a joint practice, but he was, of course, in the AFC East last year, so he saw Miami again. I don't think that really probably matters much for the joint practice, but nonetheless, maybe we see him out there. That joint practice will be here, by the way. So we'll see about that. And then, you know, from there, preseason games against the Dolphins at Detroit, and then wrap it up against the Ravens. And the Ravens game would be the one where you can't imagine that any of the starters will play, and who knows how much the starters will play in general. So there's that. You know, this is one takeaway from camp so far has just been, look, I can't tell you what's going to happen from a wins and losses perspective. They're one of the teams that's sort of somewhere in the middle of the league. And if the bounces go their way, they can win 9 or 10 games. And if they don't, they'll win 6 or 7. And that's just how this league works. But there's no question that the talent upgrade is all over the place. I mean, you know, I think nobody would trade in anything that happened in 2024. What a ride that was. Jaden Daniels was great. First NFC Championship game appearance since 1991. I mean, all good stuff. But I think what it did also was kind of put Adam Peters in a box, because, or in a bind, I should say, because how do you now all of a sudden break up this team that just went to the NFC Championship game? They were older. They were slow. This was not new. They were old and slow in 2024. It's just that everything was super magical on offense, and the defense, while not great, was at least sort of opportunistic at times with turnovers. But then last year, the older, slower thing really bit them, along with injuries and the lack of turnovers. So this is the year where Adam Peters got busy when it came to building out the roster. But I mean, just look over the last 2 years. He's brought in Laremy Tunsil. He's now brought in Stephon Diggs, Chig Okonkwo, Adafe Owe, Kalavon Chaisson, Nick Cross, Leo Chenal. They draft Sonny Styles. Like, this is a group that, just from a pure talent perspective, not to mention younger, faster, is definitely different. Anthony, you've been out there. You were out there last year too. I mean, right? When you're watching practice, again, I'm not saying this means they will go to the Super Bowl, but just watching them run around, you see it really a lot on defense. It just looks so different from where it was a year ago.
Yeah, definitely. They're flying around. And again, I think that's what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn wanted to get at this offseason, being younger, faster. And like, we're seeing that. And I think also, as far as like the intensity of practice goes, I think everyone will agree that these practices have been a little bit more intense, a little bit more competitive. Like last year, I know the last 3 days, they did 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours yesterday, and did about an hour and a half today. But I don't think the practices would have been as long and intense as they were this year compared to like last year. So, I mean, those are, you know, some of the observations that, like, you know, everybody's making in terms of how different this year's camp is. The urgency, like, we feel it and we see it. And I think that's more so like what Dan Quinn wanted to get across to everyone this year.
No doubt about it. You know, we can all see things, but it's up to what do they see? And they saw a group that needed to be more competitive leading into the season. I think they have done that. The two padded practices today, there was a lot of chippiness, which is, you know, as long as it's under control, is generally a good sign for that. And there were a few different skirmishes that broke out, but nothing escalated or anything like that. So all that is a good sign. All right, 301-230-0980. If you want to weigh in on the Commanders getting Stephon Diggs in town, the phone lines are open. 301-230-0980. Ben standing with you here until 7 on the Team 980. The talk of the town, Stephon Diggs to the Commanders, 301-230-0980. I want to hear from you guys. I want to talk more later. We'll find a segment to get into. What does this mean for the receiver room now? Because going into this, when I was looking at a 53-player projection, six receivers was kind of what I was going with. I could justify seven, but it's hard to when you look at everything else on the roster and where you're going to pull a player from. And there were basically seven veterans for six spots. Now there's eight for six. That's not even counting if a UDFA guy like a Jaden Bradley or Jacoby Jones, who had a nice play today for a touchdown, if those guys show enough to possibly get on the team, what does this mean now for that group? We'll talk about that in the hopefully in the 5 o'clock hour. But again, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Ross from Tampa, it says here, is on the line. Ross, Stephon Diggs, what do you think?
I think it's a great signing. Danik, it's good to talk to you, man. I have a question for you before I get into the Diggs thing. Shoot. I was one of the dozen last year going into the 2025 draft where you had like a little Zoom call thingy where we all had like a little table talk about the thing. Are you doing that anytime soon again, or was that a one-off experiment?
I'm always down for connecting with the subscribers of the Last Man Standing world. Send me a message. We can work something out here during training camp. I'm down for that.
I got you. I'll send you a message. But, yeah, what this signing does for me, I mean, I like the signing because my boy Russ had just mentioned it. You know, you take a lot of pressure off of the unknowns, Antonio Williams and Luke McCaffrey and Lane. But it's going to have Van Jefferson and De'Ami Brown giving each other the stink eye from across the wide receiver room, because I feel like one of them's probably on the outside looking in, but they're not as sure of a thing as Stephon Diggs. But we're just hoping that everybody stays healthy and we have more sure-handed receivers that'll actually catch the accurate passes from my guy Jaden. But all in all, man, you know, I'm glad it's not the other dude out there tripping, because he definitely ruined his chances. Let's go with Stephon Diggs, man. I'm hyped for this season, man.
I really appreciate it, Ross. And, yeah, just hit me up, and we'll figure out a Zoom situation with you and some other people at the site. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, do I think they could have cobbled something together with the pieces they had and been effective? Look, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this group before Diggs is equal to, if not arguably better, than what Jaden Daniels had to work with in 2024. I'm still not quite sure what to make of the red zone now that Zach Ertz is gone. I think Chigakonkwo's value is going to be more from the 20 to the 20 than necessarily the red zone. That aside, they have a better, as good of, if not a better group than what they had then. And obviously we saw what happened in 2024. But, you know, why have three or four people do a job when you can have one person do the job? And Stephon Diggs, again, not saying he will be the elixir for everything that this offense maybe needs, but he will certainly be for much of it. As long as Father Time has stayed away this past offseason and he is still a guy who, you know, whether he's has that top end speed anymore or not. Again, last year for a team that went to the Super Bowl, got over 1,000 yards, was a huge help in Drake May's evolution last year. Now he gets to come in with Jaden Daniels and join that group. All right, we've got another. Anthony's working on that call. We'll get to another call here in a second. I was just mentioning. The receiver room. Yeah, I am super stoked to be to nerd out later with my 53 player projection and figure out where do I do. Can I find a way to have seven receivers stay? I don't know that I can. I really don't know. And I don't know who, if it's one person who I would definitively let go. If it's two people, if they only keep six, now it's really, really tricky for sure, especially when you consider that three of the guys in Williams, Lane, and McCaffrey were all draft picks by this regime. You don't typically release those guys if they show you any signs of hope, and these guys do that for sure. All right, we do have a call on the line. AP is on hold. I don't believe this is Adam Peters. That would be cool if it was, but AP, talk to me. Stephon Diggs, what do you think?
Hey, how you doing, Ben? No, it's definitely not Adam Peters. Like I said, I wish it was. I would love his paycheck right now, just not his job. But as far as Stephon Diggs, like I said, I've been kind of leery about it just due to the off-the-field stuff that's still kind of lingering and going on with him. However, I still feel he's like the safer pick over Brandon Ayuk. When if Ayuk, you have the off-the-field antics and you have the uncertainty with his injury. Where you have Stephon Diggs, despite what's still lingering with him off the field with the legal issues, you still have a top tier talent who, you know, being on a pitch count with the injury, he was still very productive. So we know what we're getting in Stephon, and just from what I've seen from the Patriots and, you know, his work ethic and what he did there, again, despite the off the field stuff, he was very productive and he was, you know, a team first type of guy, a good locker room guy. And I think with our, you know, culture and everything that, you know, we bring to the table with our organization, feel like, you know, that this would be a good place for Stephon where he can thrive. And, you know, if there's any issues, the team itself, the organization, the staff, they can all put their arms around him to where whatever off-the-field stuff is going on, he can get cleaned up and we can just focus on football and him being productive with Terry, so... That's where I stand. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call. You know, I from what I have heard, people who are familiar with Diggs in New England and then just in general, that as a teammate, there's really not a ton of complaints that I've heard. I mean, it's certainly not last year with the Patriots, from what I gather. You know, as the caller just mentioned that I talked about earlier, the off-the-field stuff is where I agree. I was like a little hesitant to just automatically say go get him. Of course, I was very hesitant to say go get Ayuk even before he became a social media influencer. I know a lot of people don't care about these things. They just go get whoever you can go get. You know, don't worry about chemistry or culture, all that. Well, I think you do need to worry about these things. Now, when Dan Quinn constantly says, hey, we got to have a good culture. We have a good culture. It is for these types of moments. Now, again, I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs needs his hand being held and, you know, to fly right. I think he's going to be fine on that regard on his own. But this is a group that, you know, from everything that we have seen that Dan Quinn has really brought together this 53-plus players, that there is, you know, I've rarely noticed friction in the locker room. You know, these guys do all seem to get along. They do seem to hold each other accountable in that room, and Diggs is going to join that, and I think that's, you know, should be nothing but a positive experience for him, for sure, and hopefully it's a positive experience for the team in terms of what he does on the field. All right, top of the hour here, Santana Moss is going to join us. tell us what the Commanders are getting in Diggs. What does this mean for David Blau's offense? We'll get to all that next here on the Team 980.